Welcome to We Mentor Mondays podcast with Nancy. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery. Learn something new from our stories today. Welcome back to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy. We're in the studio today with Jennifer Gilk. She started a firm, Gilk Legacy Law, and they focus on estate and property planning for business, farms, and people. And we learned in our first session that she's from Redwood Falls. She's a Minnesota native. She grew up on a dairy farm, around 300-acre dairy farm. She talked about where she developed her work ethic and how much she's appreciated that, not at the time, but later as she went to law school. Jennifer learned her leadership skills, or they started emerging when she was in seventh grade and became a cheerleader. And she's continued to take charge, being part of different committees. She takes an executive leadership role with different councils that she's on. She's been involved with the Real Estate Institute in Minnesota, giving presentations. So her early years were spent kind of shoring up her leadership and her desire to learn protecting the land and other farmers.
Correct.
Why don't you expound on that a little bit?
What we do at our firm, in a small community like Redwood Falls, we're about 5,000 people. You have to know a little bit of everything, so you have to be a little bit of a general practitioner. But over the last 22 years, I have honed in and focused on and concentrated on estate planning, real estate law, and business entities, family limited partnerships, limited liability companies, corporations. And right now, about, I would say, somewhere between 80 and 90% of my client base are farmers and farm families, and looking to transition their operations from the senior generation to the next generation. Kids coming back to the farm, that kind of thing. I will do estate planning for anybody, and I have many young families and others that I do estate planning for, but that is really the sweet spot. And it's hard to get young people, young professionals, to come back to our outstate communities. The opportunities outstate are astounding if we can just get the young people to give it a try. So we have a huge base of farmers who, frankly, are the baby boomers, and they're retiring. Most of my clients are over the age of 60, and they're looking to transition their operations. So we are extremely busy.
Excellent. And let's bring your husband, Tim, into it and your family. So where did you meet Tim?
We both went to college at University of Minnesota Morris, and we met in the jazz programs and the concert band programs. We're band geeks. And he plays trombone. My primary is alto sax. And so we had a good time and really clicked. He's from an entrepreneurial family. He grew up being an airport rat at Flying Cloud Airport. His parents owned an FBO. In Eden Prairie. His parents owned an FBO, a fixed-based operator. So he grew up in airplanes and in and around an airport, and they've developed real estate. They've always had businesses of their own.
So you really complemented each other with your background.
Exactly. And growing up in an entrepreneurial family like he did, he also worked a lot and had a lot of responsibility at a young age. And as a teenager, you know, at the age of 14, 15, 16, he would have the evening shift at the FBO, and he was responsible for, you know, when people came in and landed the airplane, and he had to put it away and deal with the money and the till and locking up and everything that goes along with that.
And how did you two end up at Redwood Falls?
Well, when I graduated from law school and we moved to Ottumwa, Iowa for the year. I worked for the chief. He was willing to come back to a small town. He really did not have any interest in being back in the Twin Cities or in a metropolitan area. So thankfully that worked out. He followed me because we assumed that I would make more money. I was the one with the professional degree and the professional licensures. So we ended up in Redwood Falls. I had several interviews in southern Minnesota, and we talked about where we would like to be. Part of the reason we ended up in Redwood Falls is it was not quite halfway between our two families, but it was probably as close as we were going to get. And I always say it was close enough that either family could drive there for the day to visit, but it was far enough away from them that they would call before they actually made the trip.
Yeah.
So we knew they would be coming. Additionally, Redwood County and Renville County immediately to our north, that's the heart of farm country in Minnesota. Redwood and Renville counties have some of the richest soil on the face of the planet. So we are right in the epicenter of agriculture. So it really felt like a comfortable place for me, and he was happy with it too.
And that's why you see, probably see, that's why you see on the drive down less irrigation systems.
Yeah, irrigation in most of Minnesota is rather uncommon. There's not a ton. You have to get out towards South Dakota, extreme and extreme southwest Minnesota, western Minnesota up around Morris and Benson and west of there where I went to college. There's some irrigation up there, but southeast Minnesota is too hilly for irrigation, and then most of the prime ag land in Minnesota is not irrigated.
So you settled into Redwood Falls, and I want to bring Tim into the conversation in a different mentoring session when we actually make the trip down to Redwood Falls again. That would be great. And then, so we'll save some of our conversation to involve him as well. But together, you guys have three kids.
We have three teenagers. The oldest is graduating this year. He's going to go off to college to be an aviation major. Pilot probably is his plan. They are all very musical. I jokingly refer to us as the family Von Gilk. And we do performances for church and things. And they're all very active. And actually, we talked last time about work ethic. One of my fears raising them was, how am I going to have enough physical labor to teach them how to work?
Right, right. Yeah, that was mine too.
From a very young age, we just made certain we taught them. So all of my children are very self-sufficient. They all know how to do laundry. They all have kitchen duty. My goal is if I have children, they're meant to work and I should work less. So they have all been taught to work very hard. I don't really have any concerns about them.
Well, and I don't see you working any less.
Yeah, somehow that didn't work out.
Yeah, maybe later. All right. And you've just started up. You had already worked a lot of hours at another law firm. And so now you launched your own private practice. And can you describe a little bit more of your process last year in how you came about deciding that you would like to start your own law firm?
Well, I decided in October that my partners and I really didn't have the same visions anymore for what we wanted to do, where we wanted to go. And that probably had built over several years. And a lot of times you don't want to see what you don't want to see, and so you don't see it.
Because you've been there 22 years.
I have been at that firm 22 years. And I fought leaving for a long time. That wasn't necessarily anything that was in my plans. There are a lot of things that are extraordinarily difficult about being a solo practitioner, which I knew before I left. But in mid-October, I realized for everyone's sake, it was going to be better if I was no longer at that firm. And so I started making my plans at that time. I am blessed with the best husband on the planet. He is extremely supportive. We have a very egalitarian marriage, a very equal marriage. He is very, very good on the home front. He does half the laundry. He does half the cooking. He really is the one who's in charge of the children's schedules more so than I am. I probably would not be able to do what I do if I didn't have a spouse who really, truly was a full partner in everything. So I have to hand a lot of credit to him. For those of you in marriages, if you're not stepping up to the plate and doing your full share in all aspects, whether I'm speaking to the male or the female or partner or whichever, if you're not doing your full share, you're missing out on a whole different level of relationship. So I have to hand a lot of the credit to him.
Explore that a little bit more. Why do you think that having more of an equal parceling out a little bit more of the responsibilities leads to a deeper connection with each other? Or what do you describe more of what you're meaning?
Well, I think there's less resentment between the parties.
Okay.
When there's more of a sharing of that. Now, every couple is going to develop their own natural divisions of labor. He schedules all my oil changes.
Okay.
That's okay with me. I allow him to do that, but I grew up knowing how to change oil. My car.
You do your own oil changes?
No, I used to. When I was in college and law school, I used to do my own oil changes. So it's not that I'm not aware of that, but it's something we end up with our own natural division of labor, but he's been very, very good to step up and do much of, literally half of everything. Now, I would say to the women in the audience, let them. My advice for all brand new mothers is shut up. Stop. Stop talking. Stop telling dad what to do. It doesn't matter if the kid is dressed in plaid and stripes. What matters is you didn't have to do it. So be quiet. They're going to do it differently than you. Let them do it. Because if you speak up and you criticize or you change the clothes or whatever, you're setting yourself up then to be responsible for one whole entire section of your lives, and that's the kids. Hmm. So more often than not, we create our own problems.
Right. Absolutely. Well, that's really, really helpful and really good advice. And I think part of your upbringing as well, like your dad must have saw you as someone who could equally do what's considered man's work.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, adults work.
Yeah.
On the dairy farm, children do adults work.
Right.
And they're expected to do adults work.
It doesn't matter your gender. Just all hands on deck. And it sounds like your mother participated in
absolutely
all hands on deck. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I grew up in a different household. We had divided chores. We had more traditional. My mom didn't set foot in the barn. That just was not her world. And it took so much for all the cooking and the cleaning for six kids that somebody was always paired with her. So it was like two separate businesses, right? The household was run in a certain way, and one of the family members were there helping out one or more. And then somebody in the group was designated for working outside with Dad. And we swapped.
Sure.
So that's an interesting perspective of, you know, our upbringing and what we're challenged to do. Like, there was no question that you would help.
No, and I think in the marriage, both partners have to be willing also to have the expectation that they're going to contribute equally. So while I might, you know, admonish the husbands to step up and make sure they're doing their full share, by the same token, I would admonish the wives or the other partners, you better be willing to step up and help with everything that might be a traditionally male activity, whether that's the yard keeping or taking care of the cars and scheduling that stuff or dealing with whatever. It's a two-way street. If you want to be treated equal, then you better work equal.
And it's, so you're also saying in same gender marriages or relationships, the same thing.
Whatever it is.
Yeah. When you're partnered together, raising kids or mm-hmm. being in relationship with each other, sharing the responsibilities makes both people feel better.
Absolutely.
We kind of moved into sharing your roles because you were acknowledging that Tim has been a really great partner in life with you and that you're role modeling some really strong messages for your kids to be in equal relationships with the people that they choose to be in relationship with. And that has also been the theme for when you launched your practice.
Absolutely. One of my legal assistants agreed to come with me, thankfully. There's no way I could do this without her, and her name is Jenny, too. So at my office, we have Jenny and Jennifer. And every aspect of our marketing, of our speech, of how we present the firm is very much we. If you hear me talk about the firm, I won't say I. I talk about this is the decision we made. This is how we chose to focus. We thought this was important, etc. It's very much a collective effort. And I have thought about how I want to lead. Because at the end of the day, the buck does stop with me. And it's my name on the sign. And I'm the one with the license and the malpractice insurance. But I have done a lot of thinking about the type of leader that I hope to be at this firm. And that's very much kind of the Dave Ramsey entree leadership servant leader. I have come to realize that if I serve my clients, serve my staff, good things happen as a result of that. So things are going to be a little more out of the ordinary in terms of leadership than a typical law firm structure.
Sure. And, you know, there's many people, too, when they're starting out, they're wondering how they're going to cash flow their business. So how have you worked that out?
Well, growing up during the farm crisis in the 80s, there was not a lot of money. And I can live on not a lot of money. I can live very well on a lot of money, but we're savers. We're kind of hoarders of money. We save for a rainy day, and this was our rainy day. So we had money set aside, didn't realize we were going to use it for this. Additionally, my husband owns his own company. It is ag-related, and I don't have to work. I could choose not to work at all, but I would go insane, I think, if I did that, because I'm a draft horse, as we've learned. So we had the luxury, I have the luxury of, we had savings to do that and do what needed to be done, and my husband makes a good income. I probably will not take any salary or money for somewhere between 6 months and a year. We'll see what happens.
That's pretty typical.
Yeah, it takes a while, especially with my particular type of practice, it takes a while for that train to get underway in terms of billing and invoicing. And we are entering our fourth month, and we're finally now starting to see the cash flow. One of the differences I had, too, is I've been practicing for 22 years. I have a well-established reputation in my part of the state. I have a large client base, and I was blessed that about 99.9% of our clients chose to come with us when we left the other firm. So that was a little bit overwhelming, but we had some advantages there that a lot of startups don't have.
Mm-hmm. You're in a small town. Everybody knows this transition has occurred. How have you worked through your three remaining partnership relationships and the communication there?
I am very happy to say that overall we were all able to act like adults. I think overall everyone did a pretty good job of handling the transition. It is a small town. You know, I still see them on the street, and I deal with that just fine. They've been real good about it. I've been real good about it. It was a surprise announcement to them. They did not see this coming.
In December,
the end of December. But it's really gone very well, and I'm very grateful for how we have all conducted ourselves.
Awesome. Well, it sounds like you're doing amazingly well. You're doing awesome work. You're very passionate about succession planning and estates and helping people form entities if they're starting businesses. So I'm really excited for this next journey for you. Just so the listeners know, we have become friends with your family and you through my husband, Matthew, who practices real estate. He's a real estate attorney. You and him are on the same council.
Yes. We have a little bit too much fun.
Yes. So I really respect you so much. I really appreciate what you're doing for the farming community and preserving the land and the relationships as they're being passed on to the next generation. I think it's really important work.
Well, thank you. It's been fun to be here.
Good. And we'll see you next time. And you've given our listeners a ton of things to think about.
Thank you.
So thanks for listening in, everybody. Thanks, Mike, for helping us with the sound. And he's also going to handle the photography. All right. So we'll see you next Monday.